Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here to talk about ADHD, CHAD, advocacy, and Section 504, a clarifying definition. And with us in our virtual studio are multiple guests, multiple-time guests. These our guests should get green stamps. They've been on so much. Lane Taylor-Kloss and Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Really quickly, tonight is Wednesday, October the 26th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is wrapping up our content for the month of October, which is ADHD Awareness Month. We've been thrilled with what we brought to you. We beginning the month, we had a little promotional show about this coming this year's annual ADHD conference, which is taking place in about 2 weeks. We had several of the guest keynote speakers on, and actually a little clip for Dr. Katz, a little bit about the topic we're going to talk about tonight. Then we had Dr. David Now coming on and talking about emotional regulation, fight, flight, or freeze. We were talking a little bit behind Lane Taylor-Kloss back about the igniting the amygdala, if you will. It was a great show. And then last week we had Kenneth Bloom coming on talking about the dopamine and self-medicating behavior, which is a spectacular show, which after it spawned another one, we're going to have one coming up about dopamine and working memory, which is going to be spectacular. So let's get into announcements real quick and get on with the show. Real quickly, Dr. Barclay's asked me to promote crowdsourcingfund.com, which is a small scale website to raise research for ADHD worldwide. And then we've been promoting for the last 6 months, the 2016 annual CHAD conference is coming up in Costa Mesa, California. You can learn more about that at chadd.org. I'm going to be there. Elaine's going to be there. Jeff's going to be there. Kendall McGuire's going to be there. Ari Tuckman's going to be here. Like it's who's who of everybody that's going to be there. I'm really excited about kind of going out there. So it's not too late to figure out a way to get there. It's truly transformational. You know, we have a lot of great content. We have a lot of great speakers on here, but it's what their show is better than mine because you get to talk amongst the people. And I tell this story a couple years ago, Dr. Barclay did a presentation on sluggish cognitive tempo or whatever. And he sat there for 90 minutes answering everybody's question till the last person was standing. And you can't get that anywhere else. So, before we get into the show, tonight's show is being brought to you by CHAD, and we've got a real quick tip for them, so let's run this and we'll start talking.
ADHD challenges continue into adulthood for 35 to 65% of children with ADHD. Finding strengths, building resilience, and learning to self-advocate will improve your child's chances of succeeding in college, vocational school, or the workforce. Learn how to prepare your child for life beyond high school at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California this November. More information at chad.org, chadd.org.
All right, everybody, real quickly, we have two great guests in our virtual studio, Elaine Taylor-Kloss and Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Real quick, Elaine is a healthcare advocate. She's a writer, a public speaker, an advocate for families living with complex kids. Her experience as a co-parent of her husband or ADHD family. She became a parenting coach and a voice for parents and children with ADHD and learning emotional challenges. She consults with the American Academy of Pediatrics in an effort to improve pediatric diagnosis and treatment for ADHD. She's on the board of directors at CHAD, and you can learn more about her and her organization go to impactadhd.com or Google Attention Talk Radio and Elaine Taylor-Kloss. And there's a lot of great, I mean, spectacular interviews I've done with her. Bullying, by the way, is one of my favorites. Also, Dr. Jeffrey Katz is a clinical psychologist specializing in assessment and treatment of ADHD, learning disabilities, and behavioral difficulties of children and adolescents. He advocates for his clients in their school systems in regard to rules and regulations that govern Section 504 in special education, which is the big topic tonight. He's a former member of the National Board of Directors of CHAD and is the co-chair of their public policy committee. You can learn more about him at his website at drjeffreykatz.com. We did a show with him many years ago about doing assessments, which is by far my favorite show with him. So, Jeff and Elaine, welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Nice to be here.
I'm thrilled that you guys are coming here to talk about this, because this is one of those shows that's probably one of the most important shows that we do every year. It doesn't have the fanfare, the glitz, and the glamour, but it's really about advocacy and really speaking with one voice. And we got a great story tonight about Chad and reaching out to the Office of Civil Rights and advocating. And Jeff, in a second, I want you to kind of tell that story, but I don't know about you, Elaine, but I've called the Office of Civil Rights, and they don't seem to take my call. Do they take yours?
Yeah, somehow getting through that bureaucratic morass is a little bit challenging.
Yeah, they ask me all kinds of funky questions, and then I just hit like a click on the dial tone. I don't know what happened, but I think they should take my call, because I got lots of issues, but they don't seem to listen to me. But somehow Jeff calls, and they pick up the phone. What's that about?
Yeah. Well, Jeff's calling from Chad, man.
And that's what it is. I mean, it's that's part of that story, is that the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Education listens to Chad.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chad is the only organization out there that solely advocates for people with ADHD and related disorders. You know, other people may be interested in learning disabilities or even ADD as part of what they do, but it's not their sole thing. So when it comes to advocating for people with ADHD, it's really Chad that does it. And that's what's interesting is Capitol Hill knows that. And the departments, federal government departments, they know that too. And what we try and share with them is our interest and our expertise and what we know about stuff. So you want to hear a story?
Yeah. Before you do that, quickly, Chad is involved, number one, with legislators when it's dealing with the law. We try to impact that stuff when it's coming in. But once a law is passed, it's general, and then it goes to the regulatory agencies that try to figure out what the law was intended, and they actually write the regulations,
right.
And you have good relationships with them. Then there's the execution or the policing of stuff. So we did a show years ago on medication shortages, which really kind of deal with the DEA and the FDA,
right,
and stuff like that. So there's many facets that are kind of involved here that Chad's involved with. But this one, we're dealing with the regulatory agency. So there's a law that's passed, and there's the interpretation and the language of it. So tell us that story, Jeffrey Katz,
Just before the story, what I want to say, following up what you're saying, Jeff, is that what's different here is that what Chad's dealing with is all the non-sexy stuff behind the scenes, right?
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Now,
it's the stuff that's got to get done that nobody else knows anything about.
And we keep tabs on it. And now I like to think of this accomplishment that I'll tell you about is it may not be sexy, but it was quite exciting. And the reason is it took a while. And years ago, you talked about special education. Kids with ADHD, if it's significant enough, can get special educational services under the other health impaired category. And that's directly the result, again, of Chad doing a lot of advocacy at the time, and many people on the public policy committee got ADHD as a disorder listed under that OHI, along with blindness and along with deafness and whatever. So I was not on the public policy committee at the time, and I really wanted to do something fun. I wanted to make a difference, as everybody on our committee does. So about 3 years ago, just coming up 3 years ago, Chad had its annual conference in Washington, D.C., right outside of Washington, D.C. And I figured because we were going to be in the D.C. area, sorry, that's my dog whining from Indy. She doesn't know to be quiet. So when we were going to be in D.C., I said, we should do something with, the government. Years ago, we did a whole up on the Hill and we talked to everybody. So we invited the Office of Civil Rights, the Department of Education, to come to Chad and to come to the conference and talk about 504 and hear from parents because we knew that there were problems.
Yep.
Well, they declined the invitation. But what they did do was invite us to visit them at their offices. So on Friday of the conference, we took a few cabs, and a number of us went to the Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, and we started a discussion with them. And it turns out that they were interested in doing what's called a Dear Colleague letter. It's a letter that goes out to every school district in the country. And they wanted to clarify what Section 504 is all about. Because, like you had said, you know, these regulations were out there, but people were, different school districts were interpreting them differently. And in fact, even within a school district, you can go to a different school and it's interpreted differently. So that started a conversation that lasted just about 3 years. And every couple months. Yeah, I know, and that's what kind of amazes me, is it's over a period of time. So what would happen is that we'd call them or they'd call us, and they would have questions. You know, can a school psychologist diagnose ADHD, or can you tell us about educational interventions, you know, what would be expected? And they, and honestly, they came to CHADD because they knew that we had the expertise. You know, if we weren't sure of something, we would go to the public, to the professional advisory board. But we knew the experts. We knew who to ask. And they knew that what they were going to get from us was science-based, evidence-based information. So every few months, we'd have a conversation with them as, you know, what we had hoped would be they'd shape up a document. But, you know, coming beginning of the summer, we were kind of like, we hadn't heard from them for a while. We were all getting a little concerned. You know, there were transgender issues going on that the OCR was then involved, all this stuff. So at some point, I wrote an email to my co-chair, Ingrid Alpern, and I said, let's just send them an email. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. It's not going to, you know, let's just do it. And we got a response back, and it said, well, you know, so-and-so can meet with you at, a, you know, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday for half an hour. And we were like, uh-oh, bummed. We had always met with the team and this and that, and so we're like, oh, gosh. So Ingrid and I and Matt Cohen, who's a former president of CHADD and is also an educational attorney out of Chicago, got on the phone on that Tuesday morning at 10. And the lead at OCR says, hello, you know, I'm here, and this person's here, and this person's here. We run, it's the whole team. And they said, you know, we wanted to, you all to be the first to know that tomorrow we are sending out a Dear Colleague letter. And it's the stuff we've been talking about, and we are so pleased with what you put into it, you know, and we're not telling anybody else. They'll find out tomorrow, but we wanted you all to know. And then said, you know, and Jeffrey and Ingrid, do you mind talking to a reporter from the LA Times? They're very interested in this. Oh, of course. And we were like, we were floating on a cloud.
Yep.
And they gave us a pre-release copy. And they went through it with us, really. And, and one thing I want to say, too, you know, is that they made it clear then, and they've made it clear since, that they want to continue to hear from CHADD. You know, they see us as the people who can feed them in the information. One of the things that got them really moving was, I don't know, a year and a half ago maybe, we sent out a survey to our membership about, you know, 504, what's it doing for you, where are the problems. And we collated all that. I mean, there was a lot of work done by the committee. And sent it to them, and that was one of those tipping points, because it was the same kind of stuff they were seeing. It confirmed to them the problems that were going on with 504. Now there's a lot of good stuff too, but you know the problems. They're actually the enforcement people, but you know, after the conversation, like I said, since then they want to hear from us. They wanted this to be a continuing conversation, and that's like the best thing you can hear. So very exciting.
So I need to run to a break real quick, but a real synopsis is CHADD's annual conference, which is coming up in 2 weeks, was 3 years ago, was in D.C. Yep. You invited them to come over. They couldn't. They invited you to your office. They got into a dialogue. And over 3 years, this is talking about a Dear Colleague letter, which is tightening up the language to reduce the misinterpretations or bring a more of a unified interpretation of the law, and they're getting ready to release this stuff as a result of CHADD's input on this, one of which is a survey you had done to the CHADD membership on 504. Yes. For you out there, the members, because you're a member, you actually had a vote in this that collected the data that supported CHADD to go to these people to kind of make this stuff happen. We come back from the break, and we really want to talk about the impact of this and how it kind of filters its way through the process. But real quickly, to learn more about Elaine Taylor Kloss, go to their website, impactadhd.com. And for Dr. Katz, go to drjeffreykatz.com. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000.
Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Katz and Elaine Taylor-Kloss talking about ADHD, CHAD, advocacy, Section 504, and clarifying definition. Before we get back into the discussion, I want a real quick announcement out there. We're really excited, Attention Talk Radio. We've adjusted some of our relationships with some individuals, and we are now you can actually find us now in the library of AHA Radio. And what's exciting about this is if you're purchasing a new car, most new cars are being installed with – I'm going to call it a media center. It's like your radio and your iPod thing. But in that are some apps being installed, and AHA Radio is one of them. So you can actually go online and configure AHA Radio and listen to Attention Talk Radio in your factory-installed radio system in your car. So I encourage you to kind of check that out. So you can listen to some of your favorite shows while driving on a trip just down the road. So it's easier to access than ever before. We're very excited about this and hope you are too. Before the break, we were really talking about the story of the non-sexy story about what kind of takes place, which has a huge impact on everybody out there because after all, they're not taking my call. They're not taking Elaine's call, but they're taking Jeff's call because he's got Chad behind him. And Elaine, I wanted to kind of get your perspective. When something like this happens and there's clarifying language, you deal so much with parents and so much like with them trying to get through this. What's the impact of this to the families that are out there across the United States?
Well, you know what's so incredible is that the impact to the families out there is incalculable. It's extraordinary what this guideline does. But most parents don't know about it, right? And that's part of why I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because what this guideline did was it went out to the schools and it said, okay, you have to support and treat these kids differently, these kids, particularly kids with ADHD, and I know we're going to get into the details about it, and the result for that will be that kids who have not been supported before, have not been diagnosed or treated before, who have been overlooked in the past, now have a very clear guideline that says, no, these kids need help too, and you can't skip them just because they're smart or just because they have behavior problems, and that's huge.
So I got to believe there's a lot of frustration of parents out there because as Dr. Katz had talked about the misinterpretation of stuff, so you can say they're doing this one way over here but not over here, and you kind of walk in, you're having a conversation. That's got to be stressful for parents, Elaine. How do you work with them on that? It just blows my mind.
Well, I mean, the whole system is stressful for parents. I mean, there's sort of an art to learning how to navigate the bureaucracy of the system, right? And there are people whose jobs are just that, to sort of advocate and help parents advocate for their kids in the system. I mean, it's really, really complicated. And so guidelines like this simplify it, and as parents become better educated and informed about their rights and their kids' rights, this makes it easier for them to get the kinds of supports that they need. So the first step, we have to educate the parents about what their rights are and their kids' rights are. And the more we can simplify it, the easier we can make it for them to understand it, the easier it will be for them to be able to advocate and help their kids get.
Oh, hang on a second, everybody. Bear with us. We had a little technical difficulty. Elaine, you with us?
I am.
You got cut off by accident. We were talking about helping kids get. Do you remember what you said?
But just helping kids get access to the
yep.
support and services that they're eligible for. In the past, there are kids that have been missed and slipped through the cracks, and what's happening now gives parents an opportunity to understand it easier, more easily, and to begin to advocate for their kids in a different way.
So, Dr. Katz,
yeah.
With this being said, this is moving through the process. They send out this Dear Colleague letter. What's after that from the perspective of the Office of Civil Rights? Are they kind of done at that point in time?
No. They really they do enforcement. I mean, many of the complaints they get during the year are about ADHD. So that's part of what they want from us. They want feedback. What do we hear? What do we find out? And in fact, our committee in the relatively near future is going to send out another membership survey. Membership survey and also a survey to school districts. We want to see what they're doing. We want
mm-hmm.
to give a little bit of time to gel and see. But that's one thing that we do want to do. You know, Elaine, you were talking about parents. Obviously, parents have to be educated because if they don't know what to ask, you know, it's a problem. But, and by the way, you can get this Dear Colleague letter if you go to the Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, put it in Google, and then when you get on there, put in ADHD, and then it's going to pop up. It came
it's
out
also
July
on the Chad
26th.
Website.
Oh, yes. So you can get it
org.
There. And there's a second thing that they also put together was a two-page, you know, back front and back of a page about your rights, you know, through this. So there's you can get this, and it's actually, I think, written pretty well. So parents have to get educated, but if it really does its job, the schools will respond. And I'll tell you, I had this past week, you know, I had diagnosed a kid with ADHD, certainly needs a 504, and mom was getting nowhere. I told her to talk to the coordinator in our school district who handles 504, and about 10 minutes later, she got a call from the vice principal saying, "I'm sorry, you're right. If you want to have a 504 meeting, we'll have it. I did not mean to schedule a school support meeting and put you off, because one of the things that changed in here is they can't have interventions and not have a meeting. If you ask for a 504 meeting, they have to have that meeting, and they can't wait to see, well, let's try this, or let's see how the medication works. Or let's see. No, if you ask for the meeting, they have to have the meeting. They can still do those interventions, but they cannot put off a 504 meeting or to work on a 504 plan. So it was an immediate thing. Within 10 minutes, this mother got a call back because the coordinator who knew about this called that assistant principal and said, no, you need to have this meeting now.
Here's what's different
yep.
is in the past, that parent could have spent the next 6 to 8 months or more
Absolutely.
Fighting and advocating and arguing to try to
right.
get this kid to just be considered for services. Right? That's
so,
the difference
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
can I give another detail?
No, hang on a second. Hold
yeah.
on for a sec, because I'm having an aha right now, and Lord knows I love those, is that what I'm hearing you say is this thing is so clear, you can pull the ask for a 504 meeting card, if you will, because of this, and it bypasses some of that stuff, because this is an
yes.
adjustment in
yeah.
language. It's not
yes.
it's not a change in the law here, but because of the clarifying that, as a parent, you can say, listen, I'm asking for a 504 meeting, and by virtue of that, you're cutting through that stuff, and you've got this document to back you up. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
You know,
that's huge. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I mean, the school system still has some discretion. But what this does is says if the kid's got an outside diagnosis, if the parent has reason to suspect, if the school has an indication based on certain behaviors and performance, et cetera, then they have to have the conversation. And that's the difference.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So Dr. Katz, I want you to hold that point here for a second, because
yeah.
I want to kind of pause here. What I really want to get across in this show, this is not the sexiest show that we've ever done or we ever do, but it's the most important show.
Thanks.
And that's because
Thanks.
When you're a CHAD member, When you're a CHAD member, you pay money and you have a support mechanism that's helping people to take Dr. Katz's call, because they won't take Elaine's call and my call, although we're important people, but they don't seem to notice that. Somebody should send them a memo for us. But anyway, they'll take his call. They'll talk to him over a 3-year period. I like to see it, you know, cut down for a couple months, but bottom line, they're listening to it and they're changing these regulations. Then they put this thing out and they're looking for feedbacks. And what's new to me in this conversation is the civil rights is they're looking for some feedback, and CHAD is the conduit to collect that feedback.
Yeah.
From a database to go in and present the argument. So if it's working, great. If it's not working, great. But I don't think they're going to take my phone call to hear me say that. If you funnel this stuff through CHAD, we speak
right.
with a voice. And then
right.
what we need to be doing is we're educating this, is that you have this stuff that you can go on the CHAD website and pull this stuff off and become educated so you can cut through the stuff. Because what I heard from here, Elaine, is that if you understand what's going on here, you can cut through 6 months of BS with like a butter knife.
Mm.
That's
right.
huge. All this because of CHAD, because you're being a CHAD member supporting that organization, which is the thing that I want to drive home. So I appreciate both of you. Let me hit my point home, because that's what I don't think people get. Don't sign up for CHAD for the magazine or the Ask the Expert. I mean, certainly that's a nice byproduct, but this is what's really the value of that membership. So
it's sort of the same thing that happened a couple of years ago with the medication shortage. It was through
yes.
CHAD's membership that we understood that there was a problem that then the Public
yes.
Policy Committee
right.
was able to address.
And let me say that this piece came out in July. Another thing that some proposed regulations came out through the Department of Justice, Office of Civil Rights, about disabilities and this and that. And Ingrid, my co-chair, she's wonderful. She said, well, we need to make sure they have ADHD in there as one of the conditions. Because when it's not in that list of conditions along with everything else, people don't think it exists. And then you have to argue. Well, so what comes out? So they came out with their proposed regulations, and ADHD is front and center. Difficulties with executive function, front and center. This was kind of on her side, but part of it is like testing, like going to law school, med school, that they cannot put barriers in place for people with ADHD
yep.
very specifically. And then also, interestingly enough, the Department of Education and other special education came out with a document about behavioral issues.
Uh-huh.
And said something that we've been pushing for, and I want to mention about that. And what they say is if a kid who's got behavioral issues is having more than the average number of behavior problems, you have to consider they may have a disability. And that's under special – and so that's confusing things, but that's under special education, also
yep.
under this
yep.
504. We had talked to OCR about the problem with – behavioral problems, because kids with ADHD get into a lot more behavioral difficulties.
Yep.
OCR is Office of Civil Rights.
Office of Civil Rights. And they had said, well, you can't really broach that. There's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of, organizations. We really can't get into that. We can get into teaching. But if you look at the document, the Dear Colleague letter that came out, it talks about behavior. You
yep.
know, and it says you've got to consider the child may have a disability. You can't just suspend them
yep.
and get rid of them like that.
So, Ted, I need to run to a commercial break when we come back. I want to continue this spirited discussion. To learn more about Elaine Taylor Claus, go to impactadhd.com. She's spectacular. Dr. Jeffrey Katz, you can learn more about him at drjeffreykatz.com. And if you're not there and you haven't done so, go to chad.org, sign up and be a member, just to support the organization. And if you really are bold, go sign up for the conference and let's see you in California. So with that, we'll
Absolutely.
Be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with Dr. Jeffrey Katz and Lane Taylor Claus talking about advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. It's about advocacy. And we've made it crystal clear they're not taking my phone calls at the really anywhere on Capitol Hill or the District of Columbia or Northern Virginia for that matter. The closest I can get is a phone call. My parents are about an hour away. They'll take my phone call, but they're not in politics. So the conduit is really kind of through Chad. And this is a really big deal because it's not the sexiest thing in the world, but your membership of Chad is changing lives because it helps Dr. Katz, who was I tripled his salary last time I talked to him. I tripled
Thank
Elaine's
you.
Salary, and I quadrupled Ari's salary over last year. That I'm so giving.
Yeah.
Somehow they're not sending me thank you letters for it because I don't think
two extra red M&Ms were really good.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. There you have it. So so that being said, is these people are there advocating on your behalf, and so this is a big deal. So Dr. Katz, before the break, we were talking about the ability of a parent to walk in and ask for a 504 meeting and kind of cutting through the red tape. There was another thing that I think that you were going to say that I asked you to hold off for. Can you share that with us now?
Yeah.
Well, I think that was kind of about the behavioral thing. But
okay.
Just I want to, you know, the outline of this letter so people would know is that the school has an obligation to identify and evaluate people with ADD. One of the things that we were really concerned about were particularly in low-income areas, who's going to evaluate the kid? What if you don't have health care? What professional are you going to go to? So OCR says schools have to do it. And if that means if the school thinks it needs a medical evaluation, you know, to a physician, they need to pay for it. That they cannot just give it to, you know, the parents and say, oh, you go find out, right? And that was a biggie. So the identification and evaluation.
How clear is that in the language?
It's really crystal clear.
No, it's right there. You know, when you look at this document, they have they go through it and they have little boxes. And the boxes are the things that really have the nuts and bolts. You know, the box says, for example, this is about identification also. A school district might erroneously assume that a student with above average GPA does not have a disability. But a kid can be gifted, have straight A's, but if they have difficulty getting homework at home and the parents doing work with them, that has to be considered. Grades don't matter. How many times have we fought about that?
So as an aside, I did an interview with Dr. Thomas Brown, like a year ago or something, about gifted and ADHD. It was a fascinating interview because it's not knowledge. It's the execution of that knowledge. And it's completely different. One is to know what to do. The other is to do what you're supposed to do. And what I'm hearing you say is that this is giving some language to make it crystal clear. Is it's just not that you have the diagnosis and they're getting good grades. There's other things that are factors here that are a big deal. And Elaine, I don't mean to circle back, but I want to go back and highlight is that you're saying it's crystal clear that the schools have to go do this because in the past, if you're in a low income area, the schools could bully you by giving you the runaround and exhaust you and not get the diagnosis. Because at the end of the day, the schools, the administration there, I think, are very well intended, but it's an unfunded liability for them. Like, they're supposed to do this, and they don't get the money. So we did a show with Rob Tedisco a couple years ago that these are well-intended laws, but they're unfunded. But this actually puts the muscle in the parents' hands a little bit. Would you agree, Elaine, or you want to comment on that?
Yeah. What the language says really clearly is that the school district has to ensure that the student receives the assessment at no cost. Like, it's very, very crystal clear. And so – what they're saying is we can't make excuses anymore. We can't make excuses, as Jeff was saying, if the kid is doing well and really, really bright. So all of those years of kids who were not performing commensurate with their intelligence but were doing well enough and were not getting services, that should be over. And it's also saying, this is another interesting piece, that we can't say that just because a kid is getting additional support, the kids' parents are working with them at home, they're working with outside tutors, they've got accommodations in place. It's also saying that if they're doing well because they've got these other supports, medication, whatever it is, it's saying even if they're doing well with these other supports, that doesn't mean they're not eligible for support.
That's huge, Elaine.
Yeah.
Right. And it specifically says that, you know, you can't take into account mitigating factors. If the child, you have to consider the child not on their medication. You have to consider the child without the extra tutoring. And you have to start at that place. I want to mention there are two things that schools look like. One is, do they have a disability? And secondly, is there impairment that they need services in school? And so two things about that, because what I've seen a little bit of schools will say, yes, they have a disability, but it's not impairing, right?
That's
at school.
Right.
And one thing that this talks about very clearly is that when you talk about disability and impairment, you're not looking narrow. You know, let's get the small, you know, extreme kids. It says that the way Congress wanted it to be was to be broad. We don't, you know, we want to take in more kids and make sure they're doing well and getting a good education, not looking for the extreme kids who are, like, way off the edge. And that's
wow.
where a big change is. Because
the example that comes up for me, Jeff, as you're saying that is, you know, my oldest kid is now 22 years old, and I think about
mm-hmm.
where we are now and where we were when she was 6, 7 years old. And in those
mm-hmm.
days, she was considered, you know, the problem was that they were testing based on eligibility for services. They weren't testing based on what the disability was.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wasn't, even though she had all of these challenges, she wasn't eligible for services because she was really smart.
Right.
And so she was performing well enough. And that's
right.
a huge shift from, you know, these last 15 years or so, because now they're not allowed to just test to say, is she able to have, you know, extra time. Now they have to test to say, this kid has a diagnosed disability.
And
yeah.
So, and what's that? Forgive me here, but what I like about this, it's no longer what they're diagnosed with. It's a relationship of what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
oh,
before
yeah.
it was just the minimum.
Yeah.
Now you're here. This kid is this child. We have to provide the services for this kid to achieve what they're capable of, which is a paradigm shift. It's completely opposite, which is exciting.
Well, and that is because. Us on the committee, and actually many of the disability community, see Section 504 ending up being more powerful than special education.
Exactly.
Because in special education, the goal is that there be some progress.
And
schools will argue minimal progress, whereas 504, the goal is that the child should do as well as the peers, you know, as well as they are capable of amongst their peers. That's a very a higher standard. You know, we don't want a kid who's gifted doing average. Because of their ADHD.
If you think about it, this is coming out of the Office for Civil Rights, right? It's coming from a different mindset and a different perspective. And what we're saying is, whether the kid's in a wheelchair or the kid's got a neurological disability, whatever it is, we need to make sure that this kid is given every opportunity appropriately to reach their fullest potential in the school environment.
Yes. Yes. And it comes right out of civil rights law. I mean, that's where it's at.
Everybody's
created equal and have a right, you know, have rights and things that they should be able to expect.
And this was, I want to clarify a little bit what you were saying, Jeff. It's not a paradigm shift in terms of the intention of the law.
Right.
It's just a paradigm shift in terms of the guidelines that give us a new way to interpret the implementation of the law.
I like what you're saying, Elaine, because it really kind of falls into at the end of the day, who's going to advocate this is the intent of the law? Like, we're just going to make this kind of easy. But Chad's coming in with a muscle and say, this is intent to law. Let's clean up this language. The survey says this is not working for us. We come in, we have this conversation. It takes a little while, but we tighten up the language. And now we're starting to get some specificity to it to kind of make this stuff happen. And again, if you're listening to this show and you're still with us, the one thing you got to take away from is none of this could happen. Absolutely none of this could happen if it wasn't for the 17 million people with ADHD people and everybody who's supporting them speaking with one voice, and the conduit is Chad, and that's the service that they provide. And that's, to me, the thing that nobody appreciates, understands, and that I'm trying to highlight here. So we hope we've given you a really good education and you see the light now. It's the conversations about the law. It's the conversations about the regulations. It's conversations about, hey, there's a medical shortage. Because the voice is 17 million people going to Chad and them walking up and giving Jeffrey and his committee the resources to kind of make that happen. So I need to kind of pull these things together. But I would like, Jeff, any final thoughts or comments? And Elaine, I would like to have your thoughts on this next before we wrap it up. So, Jeff, any things that we haven't covered?
In our local Chad chapter all the time, people come, is there a cost to come to the meeting? No, there's no cost to come to the meeting. But we want you to join Chad because you get some good stuff, but what you're doing is you are supporting the organization that does the advocacy, that has that professional advisory board, the people who are looking out for ADHD. And honestly, we all hope that every kid, every adult with ADHD does well. We want to make sure that the environment is there to support it and that people understand about ADHD. I mean, it's Chad that made ADHD a household word. They really put out the word and got us here, and we still work at it. And everybody can still work at it. So that's what I say.
Awesome. Elaine?
I think what I would sort of build on that to say is that, you know, Chad, there's a lot of work that Chad has done behind the scenes, and a lot of others, and that Chad sort of led behind the scenes. And there's a lot more work to be done. Right, that we are nowhere near where we want to be and need to be in terms of challenging the stigma, overcoming the assumptions that are being made, the misinformation that's out there. There's just a lot more work to do, one of the things we haven't really touched on much in terms of these regulations is that one place they're really going to have an impact is they're basically saying we can no longer just summarily expel or suspend kids, right? We have to look at what's causing these behaviors and make sure we're evaluating them appropriately. That's going to have a significant impact on kids all over the country, particularly in lower-income communities. So there's a lot of I don't want to say damage that's been done over the years, but there's a lot of misinformation that's been out there or lack of information that we're beginning to shift and change and sort of turn the tide on.
Yeah.
That's what this is a huge step forward in that process. But there's a lot more awareness, understanding, advocacy that needs to be done. And that's where it's important for parents to understand what's happening so that they can be part of that process and help contribute their voice to that larger voice that Chad's bringing.
And if
and
I can
I
add one little piece to that,
uh-huh.
is that OCR, Office of Civil Rights, understands that teachers need training.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers
yes.
need good training about ADHD. And we're already beginning to try and partner with them, and we'll partner with them to go to different educational conferences together and to teach about ADHD. I mean, it's a big, big issue because they know this stuff isn't just going to happen because they say so. People really need to understand ADHD well. Teachers need to, and administrators. And that's, again, another part of where Chad's going to be very active in the future.
Which – taking what Elaine said and taking what Jeffrey said, I cannot help but it's the coming together and the advocacy of Chad and the promotion that brought me to reach out to them when Attention Talk Radio started. I said they were an integral partner and we've had a great relationship. And going to the conferences every year, what Elaine said and what Jeffrey said, I cannot help but all of a sudden Phil Anderton and Steve Brown stand out of my mind because it's them that are showcasing. These are two British guys that come over to the United States and go into law enforcement and educating them on what ADHD is so that the officers take that into consideration at the point of performance mm-hmm. when they're dealing
yeah.
with some people.
Absolutely.
A couple of years ago, they had a conference. I've met them the first time in Orlando, and they had been in Gainesville, Florida, on their own dime educating the police force there about what ADHD, how to recognize it and how to deal with it. It's not the people, it's their ADHD and how to deal with it. And it's Chad that pulls that stuff together and that awareness. They've been doing yeoman's work. And Elaine, when you were talking about I forget the language that you use, it just stuck out in my mind, and the educating of teachers and stuff, and that's what Chad does. So if for no other reason, if you walk away from that, I hope you're inspired by Chad and their advocacy and support the organization. Join, send time, dollars, go to their conference, do whatever you can to make that happen. So with that, Elaine, thank you so much for coming on the show. Jeff, same to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for doing this, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you so much. You're great.
Everybody, go check out Chad at chadd.org and our experts, Dr. Jeffrey Katz at drjeffreykatz.com and Elaine at impactadhd.com. We hope you enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.